So I am reading a book right now, and we have it. I don't know if we have it back there. Frank's not here today, okay? This Frank is, but the other Frank is not. Anyway, one of our speakers that we have, Brian Crawford, he wrote a book called Divine Scandal, I think. The Divine Messiah or the Scandal of Messiah. I forget what it's a book. And he's dealing with, I'm not necessarily recommending it. It's a very, very difficult book to get through. I'm really struggling with it, but every so often there's a nugget. And so Brian's wonderful. He speaks way above my head, but he's wonderful. But he's dealing with the divine scandal. In other words, we say Yeshua is the Messiah. Yeshua is portrayed in the Bible. Of course, he's saying Jewish people say no to that, that Yeshua is not the Messiah. And he's dealing with with two special groups. One is Maimonides and his thinking, and the Kabbalah and their thinking. And he deals with Maimonides' philosophy. Anyway, he's dealing with Kabbalah, and their philosophy. And he's showing how Judaism today follows a lot of what Maimonides did. Maimonides started about the 12th and 13th century. That was when he lived. And he set Judaism on its path. He was influenced by Plato and Aristotle. And he filtered in the fact that God can't have a body, that God can't have anything to do with us. God is far and beyond. So therefore, he can't communicate to mankind because he's separate. And he communicates to us through different spheres, which I get it. That's right. In this book, he shows us that God can speak to mankind. And so why I'm telling you this, I have no idea. Anyway, so I've got so lost in it. But anyway, he's dealing with the fact that our Jewish people say you can't believe in Messiah. You can believe in God, but you can't believe in Messiah. Well, that's what we're dealing with today. The fact, and as John is always saying, that if you believe in God, you should believe in the Son. Things go hand in hand, go together. I remember growing up, as a little boy, we used to go roller skating. And one of the songs that we would roller skate, nice skate, would be Love and Marriage. Anyone remember that? Love and marriage, love and go together like a horse and cat. Things that go together. And so and we're going to see that in Scripture. Occasionally we see a new couple in the Messianic movement dating. And we say, oh, they're an item. They go together, And we see that in life, in sports. Sunday means, for men, football, that's right. Saturday means college football. There's certain things that go together. In the Scriptures, we see the same thing. And certain things that go together. When you hear Adam, they go together. Oh, you can't separate them. When you hear Abraham, you have to say, not Sarah. Nobody knows Sarah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That wasn't a good one. Forget that illustration. Okay. When you hear Moses, you say Moses and Aaron, or Moses and Joshua. Okay. Not Caleb. When you say Joshua, you might say Joshua and Caleb. Certain things go together. We see that in the Bible. Even look at me in Numbers 14. By the way, in your outlines, if you have your outlines, we're not even going to finish Roman number 1 today. Okay. And I meant to just make that one outline, just one. But anyway, we got a little confused, so we made one. So the next 2 points, 1 and 2, we're going to be here for a few months. But anyway, no. Let's try one today. Two things that go together. Okay? Numbers 14. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. Every time Jewish people complain, every time they had an issue, no food, no bread, no water, who falls on their face? Moses and Aaron. It's always Moses and Aaron. Moses, in some sense, stands alone. But a lot throughout the Pentateuch, first five books, the Torah, we see Moses and Aaron together. We also see Moses and his servant, who is Joshua. Moses and Joshua, we see them going together. Follow along. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. Next, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, they go together. Joshua and Caleb. Those who spied out the land, they tore their clothes. When you hear Elijah, you go. Very good. We are alert. That coffee needs to be stronger. Elijah and? Good, okay. And follow along. 2 Kings 2. By the way, we're just in intro, you know, so I don't know if we're going to get out of the intro today. Anyway, Elisha, or some people say Elisha, thank you. Elisha saw and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. Everywhere Elijah went, Elisha was with him. They go together. And so Elisha said, I want to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. He says, if you see God take me, Elijah, then God is going to give you a double portion. That's what he asked for, a double portion of my spirit. And sure enough, Elisha saw Elijah go up. And he says, then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell off Elijah. And he returned and stood by the banks of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, struck the water, and says, where is the God of Elijah? They go together. Certain things always go together. 2 Kings chapter 2 there, we said, where's the God of Elijah? And when he had taken and struck the water, they were divided, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw this, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. They go together, always together. In the scriptures, there are certain things that always go together. In Yeshua's day, one of the arguments, the book of John, the Jewish people said to Yeshua, we believe in God. We believe in the Jewish patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Jewish people said, we believe in the prophets. We believe in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We believe in the prophets. We believe in all that. It's good. It's right. It's Jewish. It's part of our history. We do not believe in you. Who are you? We don't believe in Yeshua. And in today's society as well, with our Jewish people today, all the time, when you, me, any of us share our faith with Jewish people are quick to say, well, we believe in God, and we believe in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We believe in the prophets. We don't believe in Yeshua. That's part of what this book, The Divine Scandal, is all about. He says, because he's saying you have to believe in God and the Son. They go together, hand in hand. You can't separate God the Father, God the Son. And so they go together. And John is trying to say that. Don't give me the argument that we believe in God and not the Son. You can't. And I have this all the time from our Jewish people. We believe in God. We don't believe in Yeshua. You can't have one without the other. You'll hear that a lot. That is Jewish. That was Jewish thinking many times, even before Maimonides. Jewish people, for the scandals that people say you can't believe in the Messiah in a body. But Jewish people, for 1,000 years, even before Maimonides, for 1,000 years, it was very common to think that God could become a man. It was Jewish thinking that it was possible. They didn't believe in Yeshua, but they did say it's possible. And so you can't have one without the other. Follow along, John 8:39. They answered him. Jewish people, leaders, answered Yeshua. Abraham is our father. Yeshua said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds that Abraham did. If you believe in Abraham, then do the deeds of Abraham. He says, you're doing your deeds of your father. Now, I'm not saying we should witness and share like Yeshua did. He knew when to call them the devil, and he knew what to say. But Yeshua said, you are doing your deeds not of Abraham, but you're doing the deeds of your father. He meant, and he said, the devil. They said to him, we're not born of fornication, because that's because Miriam was a virgin, but they didn't believe it. They said, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Yeshua said to them, if God were your father, I like this thinking. Now listen carefully. If God were your father, you would love me. This is a bold statement. If God were your father, you would love me because God sent me. If you really love God, he would tell you, he would open your eyes, he would reveal that he sent me, the prophet. We go together. You can't have God without the Son. He said, for you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. You're saying you believe in one, you can't believe in me, in God without me. We go together. John 5:22. For not even the Father judges anyone. God doesn't judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to me. I was with him in heaven. Yeshua was with the Father. And this, now, this is theology. This is the theology. In heaven, before there was anything, before there was molecules, before there was air, before there was anything, there was nothing. We can't conceive of nothing. But there once was nothing. Well, you mean empty space? Nothing. No particles, no atoms, nothing. Except there was God. There was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God did not create Yeshua. Yeshua always existed. Yeshua is God, not partial God, not God Jr. Didn't come after and was created, but he is God. So there was always God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have to make a distinction. And you say, well, Larry, you're telling me there's three gods? No, I'm not. Because the word one is echad. It means unity, same in essence. The Father is the same in essence and being as the Son. The Son is the same in essence and being as the Holy Spirit. They're all the same essence, yet they are three distinct different persons. And so they always existed, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the Father gave all judgment to the Son. He says, you're going to go and you're going to judge the world. In the council of God, when you say the council of God, everything was discussed in the time past. There was no point to him. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit council. That's the council of God. They all were this. And it says, so that all will, watch this now, all judgments given to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. See, you can't honor the Father without the Son. You can't say, you know, what do you know? I honor God the Father. And you say, no, you don't. You can't honor the Father without honoring the Son. You can't honor the Son without the Father. Why, everyone? Because they, great, okay. They go together. Thanks, good. You will honor the Son even as the Father. He who does not honor the Son, we don't believe in the Son, then you don't believe in God. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. You can't have one without the other. Two things that I'm going to keep repeating. You can't have one without the other. They go together. Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, Revelation. Chapter 4, God reveals to John a picture of the glory of God in heaven. Chapter 4 is a picture of the Father in heaven. Chapter 5 in Revelation is a picture of the Son in heaven. And so, just a portion, chapter 5. Then John says, I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. Picture in heaven, elders, the living creatures, the throne and the living creatures and all the elders. And the number of them was thousands upon thousands, myriads upon myriads, thousands upon thousands. This is what they were saying in heaven. John saw a vision in heaven. His first vision, chapter 4, is the Father. Second vision, it was the vision of the Father and the Son, chapter 5. And he said, they were all calling out and crying out, worthy is the Lamb. That's the Son. That's the Messiah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. That only goes to God the Father, not here. It goes to God the Son as well, because they go together. Everyone, you can't have. And every created thing which is in heaven, and everything on earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all things in them, I heard saying what? To him who sits on the throne, the Father, and to the Lamb. They're both included together. Well, I just want to honor the Father, not the Son. You can't. And to the Lamb, be blessing, and honor, and glory, and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. And what did the elders do, everyone? The Father and the Son. You can't partially worship the Son because he is fully God. Both the Father and the Son. If you reject one, you reject the other. So our main idea here for today, next couple weeks, is this, our main thought. You should not reject, and I'm just, before I get the statement, you should not reject the Son. Because if you reject the Son, you reject the Father. You can't honor the Father without honoring the Son, because they go together. You should not reject the Father because you reject the Son. But you should believe in the Father because you believe in the Son. You should believe and trust in the Father. You believe and trust in the Son. You follow the Father. You follow and trust the Son of God. They go together. So follow along with me now as John develops this thought in chapter 12, the end of chapter 12. The first part that I see, which is going to be Roman numeral 1, we see that man naturally, who do I mean by man? Man, women, all people, most people as a whole, there are exceptions. The whole of mankind, well, there's really not exceptions, but we see what God does. The whole of mankind hardens himself against God. The whole of mankind hardens themselves against Yeshua. That is natural, believe it or not. That's what comes. From the fall with Adam, sin entered the world, and we naturally turn away from God. The verse I love to quote in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, God made us upright, good and right, to follow God. But we have sought out many devices. God gave us the right, but we look for the wrong. God made us on the right path, but we follow the wrong path. We naturally, all mankind, naturally goes away from God. You say, so well, then how did I come to go in the right path? You ought to start thanking and praising him because he brought you. It was God. Why doesn't he bring the others? That's his problem, not my problem. I'm thankful God brought me. So man naturally hardened. Man naturally goes away from God. That's what we do. We are infected with sin, which causes us to naturally go away from God. We're all like sheep. We've gone our own way. That's what we do. And that's what God calls the sin. And it says, so man naturally goes away from God. Man hardens himself against God, against his word, and against God's servants. That's the natural course of the world. Man will always go against what God teaches. Though they might cover it up and say they believe in God, they don't. Man naturally goes away from the Son. Man naturally goes away from God's word. Man naturally goes away from God's servants. That's what they normally do. But then God chooses and calls some of us to go the right way. So you say, you mean it has nothing to do with me? Nothing. It's all his grace. It's all his mercy. Why on January 15th, 1972, in a house in Philadelphia, on a Saturday night, were my eyes opened? Because I was good and smart and studied the prophets? No. Because I wanted the good and the right? No. Because I don't. Mankind naturally goes away. Why? Because God himself was merciful to me, and he opened my eyes, taught me the truth, and enabled me to say, I want to follow you. Even God did that. Man naturally goes away from God. Follow along with me. Rejection of God, we see here in Yeshua's time. This first point, which I'll never get through, but this first point, what was it, 1A? In Yeshua's time, we see that naturally, the most of the people gradually went away from God. Second point we're going to see, in the Old Testament, they always went away from God, even though Jewish people say, nah, our forefathers, they followed God. They did not. They never wanted God, and they turned away from God. So in Yeshua's time, they turned away from God, mankind. In the Old Covenant, they turned away. Everyone turned away. Israel and everyone else turned away from God. Yeshua's time, Old Testament, today, natural man's natural tendency is to go away. Man naturally wants to follow Maimonides. Man naturally wants to follow Kabbalah, whatever you want to say. Man naturally chooses any weird thing because God made us upright, but we have what? Sought out many other things, many other devices. So we see here, the natural thing in Yeshua's time, they naturally went away. Even with all the proof, they naturally go away. Follow along. John 12:37. But though he had performed so many signs, Yeshua performed so many signs and miracles. I mean, you just see one of his miracles and you'd have to fall down, bow down, worship him. It's like when Yeshua came in the boat and they're walking on, he's walking on the Sea of Galilee, Yeshua, and the storm's going on. And Yeshua gets in the boat and Yeshua says to the storm, calm down, waves, calm down. Peter, who is this? And he falls down and worships God. I'm in the presence of something I can't understand. It's so awesome. And so it says, when he had performed many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. They did not believe in him. They didn't follow the signs. But though we see it happen here in Yeshua's time, we see it's a pattern for all mankind for all time. Man naturally rejects God. Don't ever tell me that we're going to get up to heaven and say, I'm here because I chose God. Folks, we're there because God chose you. Not because you're smart, not because you have great talents and abilities, not because you're good looking, not because you have charisma. He chose you. Why, everyone? I don't know. Yeah, I do. He chose you because the kind intention of his will. Well, why didn't he choose somebody else? I don't know. But I will pray for them. We follow along. They were naturally not believing. The leaders said no to the signs. There are plenty of signs. They saw it. One sign should have been enough. They said no to the prophets. They said no to the prophecies. They said no to God's voice from heaven. They said no to John the Immerser. John, they said no to every, no matter what God did, they said no. They said no to the miracles. I always like to go through the miracles. Water, the wine at Cana. There's water, the barrels. I mean, they were there to see it. The leaders saw it. The people saw it. There was water. They ran in for the water. All of a sudden, it became the best wine. They were marvel. John purposely wrote this so that you might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. John picked seven miracles. This was one. This miracle might have been a taste, a shadow of what Moses did in turning the water to the blood. Might have been, we don't know, but it might have been. But it was a sign. The leader saw the sign. No. It's amazing to think maybe the conversations and the involvement that Jewish people, leaders must have had with them. Well, what about this? They said, well, it's true, but forget it. I don't want to believe it. They went against every sign. The next sign, nobleman comes to Yeshua and said, my son is sick. Come back to my house and heal him. And Yeshua, they're all around him. That's why you should see, I think, very good, the movie The Chosen. I think Lori recommended. Shavuot, which I didn't even know, they study all night long. She says, isn't that exciting and fun? I said, well, probably tiring and exhausting. But anyway, and she said, one of the different things we could do, when some people might study all night long. Still come to services. I don't mind if you sleep next week. Yeah, it's okay, but come. Anyway, but The Chosen puts a little life to some of the scriptural passages, and they do it very well. There is also a suggestion for some of you might have seen some of it. One of the videos, she said we could see Ben-Hur, we can see Ten Commandments. She said we need things to do all night. I said, well, Ben-Hur, the Ten Commandments, and Chosen, that's all night easily. But anyway, there's things we could do. She said one of the things that was listed there was the series House of David. Anyone see that House of David? Okay, right. If you've seen it, stay away from it. It stinks. It's wrong. It's no good. Okay, so I'm just warning you, okay? They make David illegitimate. They look down on Jesse. They look down. It's not good. Everyone's raving, oh, it's so good. It's no good. It stinks. It's like Lazarus when he was dead. He stinketh. Anyway, House of David's no good. Doesn't give David a good light. Doesn't give his father Jesse a good light. Nothing. Everything else is fine. Anyway, I wanted to give you a warning. Where was I? Oh, they reject the signs, the Jewish leaders. It says, but though he performed so many signs, the paralyzed man in Bethesda, he was there for, I think, 38 years. Everything was like stone. He couldn't move. Just like that, Yeshua heals him. He's up and walking. I cannot imagine if you were a Jewish leader and you're against Yeshua, and you're watching this, and you picture around the pool of Siloam, there's all kinds of Jewish people, and the leaders are just, they're all watching to see what Yeshua's going to do with this man who's never walked 38 years. And he stands him up, and he starts walking. I mean, no matter who you are, you got to fall down and worship Yeshua. Instead, no, 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 we have to kill him. They saw the miracle because John said they rejected the signs. Yeshua walking on the water. Yeshua feeding thousands and thousands of people with a few loaves of bread. The blind man, chapter 9, is amazing. A man born blind, never had seen. What can you do if you're a leader? I don't like him. A man born blind. A man paralyzed for 38 years. I don't like him, but you can't. You see the miracles. All they can say is, well, he did it on Saturday. He violated the Sabbath. He didn't violate the Sabbath. He violated your interpretation of the Sabbath. He is the fulfillment of the Sabbath, and he gives the rules. Anyway, let's go. They reject the signs. They reject Lazarus. That's another. We'll get to Lazarus in a minute. Raised from the dead. The leaders, chapter 12:37. They reject the signs. They were not believing in him. They rejected that he healed the deaf, dumb, blind, paralyzed. They reject the words of God, the prophecies. But this is a picture and a pattern. It really happened. The leaders there rejected the pattern of the whole world. Always rejecting God. So that, see, that has to drive you to say, wow, I'm like that, but he was merciful to you and turned you to him. They reject the signs. Follow along. Verse 47. Therefore, the chief priests, the leaders, and the Pharisees convened a council. I like this council. They were saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they say, for this man is performing so many signs. They saw the signs. They knew what they were. There's no excuse. You can't get around the signs. What are we going to do? They rejected. They saw the signs. They saw the miracles. So what you should have done is turn to Yeshua and turned all the people to Yeshua. Instead, mankind goes naturally away, even from the miracles, even from the signs. Go on. John 12. They saw and they rejected. But the chief priest, chapter 12, verse 10 and 11, the chief priest planned to put Lazarus to death. That's the good solution. That's the Jewish people's solution. Yeshua raises Lazarus from the dead. What can we do about this? He obviously raised Lazarus from the dead. Good, let's kill Lazarus. You better watch it. If you kill him, maybe he'll raise him up again. Can you imagine? It's bad enough that he had to die once. Come back, he's got to die a second time. But anyway, what's their plan? Let's get rid of the evidence. Man hardens himself. Because on account of Lazarus, many of the Jewish people were going away and believing. John 10, their natural tendency in Yeshua's time. The Jewish people picked up stones to stone Yeshua. Yeshua answered, I showed you many good signs from the Father. Of which of them are you stoning me for? The Jewish people answered, for a good work we don't stone you. But for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. So they made up an excuse. You blasphemy, you broke the Sabbath, you being a man, so we're going to stone you. Yeshua says, if I do not do the works of my Father, if I don't do the works of God, he says, don't believe in me. I'm nothing. But look for yourselves. Look at the evidence. We constantly go, look at the evidence. Before I was saved, that people say, look at the scriptures. Look to change lives. I don't want to believe it. You have your minds made up. Jewish people said no. He says, I showed you many good works from the Father. Which one are you stoning me for? The Jews answered, we already said that. John 10, 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, if I don't do the works of God, then don't believe in me. Don't believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, though you're struggling with me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me. Our theme, the Father and Son, what, everyone? Go. You can't have one without the other. You reject God. I don't care how pious and holy spiritual people seem to be. They say, no, we believe in God. Well, then you have to believe in the Son. If you don't believe in the Son, you don't believe in God. If you reject the Son, you reject the Father. If you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. That's what in Yeshua is. Mankind naturally goes in our own direction. And he says, John, I was 10:37, so that you may know and understand. Oh, yeah. But if I do these works and not believe me, believe the works so that you might know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. We are. You can't separate them. Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him and elude their grasp. They naturally went away. Of course, one of my favorite stories, we've already looked at it, John chapter 9, the blind man. This is just one of the most comical stories in the Bible. Blind man gets healed, and he tells the people, They bring him to the Jewish leaders. They say, how do you see? He says, well, this man Yeshua healed me, made clay, put my eyes, I washed, now I see. They said, well, we don't believe it. He said, you're not the same man. Well, let's call his parents in. What happened? Well, the parents said, I don't know. Ask him. He's of age. So they bring him back. He said, what happened? He said, I already told you. He said, no, we want to hear it again. He says, you don't want to hear it again. He says, yeah. He made clay, healed my eyes. Now I see. What do you know? Get out. They kicked him out. It's really amazing story, chapter 9. And he says, then the Pharisees were asking him again, how did you receive your sight? He said to them, he applied clay to my eyes. I washed. Now I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. You know, I guess I might have struggled like anyone else at that point. You know, but after you see his holiness, and after you see his life and his words, and it fulfills the scriptures, and you see the miracles, and you hear the voice of God, you say, maybe I'm not quite understanding what Shabbat is all about. Because he heals on the Sabbath. They were looking for something to get him on. He says, but others were saying, how can a man who's a sinner perform such signs? And there was division behind them. Then the man answered and said to them, well, here, I love this. The man answered the Pharisees, the blind man. He said, well, here's an amazing thing, folks. Listen, I don't know much. Picture this blind man, beggar his whole life. All of a sudden, I don't know much. I know one thing. He says, here's an amazing thing, that you do not know where this man is from. Yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear wicked sinners. But if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. It's never been heard of. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do anything. They answered him, you were born entirely, I love this, in your sins. And are you teaching us, everyone? Yes. You and I, we don't know much. We don't know much. We weren't raised religious. But are you teaching those people in the Chabad? Are you teaching the Jewish leaders? Are you teaching the brilliant Jewish philosophers and men? Are you teaching them, everyone? Right. We don't know much. But we want to know one thing. Once I was blind, and now I see. You don't need study. You don't need to be holy and perfect. In fact, Yeshua came for the sinners and the wicked. You know, he opened up our eyes and saved us. He says, they answered, are you entirely in your sin teaching us? They put him out. Yes, we are teaching them. And you say, well, what could I tell a rabbi? What could I tell the Hasidim? Which they study mostly Kabbalah and Maimonides. What could I tell them? Everyone, this is what you can tell them. And I tell you, you can tell them your story. I mean, you don't need brains to tell your story unless you're out of your mind and you can't think. But you have a story. Everyone, I always say, everyone here, tell me, show me your hands. Who was born? I didn't say again. Who here was born? Okay. Who here is raising their hand? You got a story, folks. You got some kind of story. Well, it's not interesting. You got a story that God gave you. Start with your story. Then, as people always say to me, well, how did you get involved with this stuff? My old family, friends, neighbors, and people say, well, how did you get involved with this? Let me tell you how I got involved. A person came to me and told me Yeshua was the Messiah. I fought with them. I argued. Tell them first your story. Then tell them your testimony. Everyone, story, testimony, how you came to believe. You can tell them that. It doesn't involve much study and learning. It might be good for you to write it out one day. Your story, your testimony, and then you could even use Bible verses. Story, testimony, verses. You have that. Are we teaching them? Yes, we are. You don't have to know Greek. You don't have to know Hebrew. You don't have to know the different forms and syntax of the words and the involvement of the words. You have a story, a testimony, and you have verses. That's all you need to tell. He answered them. Yeshua says, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jewish people were seeking all the more to kill him. Man, this is not just the Jewish leaders. This is the Jewish people then. In the past, today, man naturally goes away from God. That's what we do because sin entered the world. because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, which he wasn't, but also he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. There's different reactions to the truth, to your story, your testimony, the verse. There's always going to be different reactions. Yeshua, listen carefully, Yeshua causes division. He always will. He came to bring us closer to God. Some will say yes to that. And I always like to think some will say no. The people who say no, that's natural. The people who say yes, God's Spirit is turning them to you. When you say yes to the Word of God, when you say yes to the changed lives, when you say yes to the Word God is working, that is God's mercy and grace to you. You can't say yes, you can't turn to God without His Spirit working in your life. Do not get proud and arrogant. It's all God. Some say yes, some say no. I referred a couple of weeks ago to the seeds on the ground. When they said the sower went out to sow seeds, and some of the seeds fell on the side, the seeds of the Word of God. Some of the seeds fall on the ground, the birds come and take them away. That's a picture of us hearing the gospel, hearing good news, mankind naturally hearing it, and we just take, the devil comes and takes it away, and you pay no attention to it. Then they said there's other seeds fell on there, fell into some soil that didn't have much depth. And so at first, the Word of God sounds good, but then persecution comes. You're believing that? No. They turn away. Then there's other seed. This one is my saddest one. Some of the seed fell in the thorns. So the Word of God comes and falls on a lot of people, and they like it, but they say, I'm worried about those family and friends. I'd like some riches. I'd like some good things. The cares of the world, take it away. And then there's some that fall on good soil, and it bears much fruit. Yeshua came. The Word of God is being preached. There's different reactions. Yeshua's own family didn't believe in him at first. One of his 12 disciples turned away from him. It's natural that for people to go away. That's natural. That's what happens. Mankind naturally hardens himself and turns away from God. Jewish people today and for years have always said, well, we follow God and we walk with God. But that's not true. We follow God, we obey God, we follow him, but not Yeshua. That's not true. Jewish people have always turned away. The whole world has always turned. They hardened themselves. Follow along. Rejection of God. First, in Yeshua's time. That's what they did. The leaders, most of the Jewish people, some turned. That's exceptions. Then it's before Yeshua's time. In the old times, in the times of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, in the times of Noah, all of them, mankind, everyone, naturally go away from God. That's what we see. Mankind hardens himself. He rejects God in the old times, in old biblical times, natural to turn away. It's the pattern for all mankind. Couple verses, we're not going to look them up, but in the book of Psalms, Psalm 14. Remember, it's the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 14 or Psalm 22. It's not Psalms 22. That's my pet peeve. Okay, if you refer to one psalm, it's Psalm. I always hear people say, I would like you to turn to Psalms 100. No, it's one psalm, Psalm 100. Okay, the book of Psalms, one single psalm. Anyway, in Psalm 14, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He says, then God looked down from heaven to see if there's anyone who follows him, if there's anyone who obeys him. And then it says in Psalm 14, there is no one who does good, no, not one. No one seeks after God, no, not one. Mankind doesn't turn to God. Yeshua's time, the leaders, Jewish people, they didn't turn to God. Well, I could see some that did, the exception and God's mercy. Old covenant, they didn't turn to God. Whether they're pagans, whether they're Jewish, nobody turned to God. Psalm 14. Jeremiah 17:9 describes mankind for us. Everyone, quote Jeremiah 17:9. Very good. Everyone heard that. It was very good. The heart is deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. Isn't that a nice thing to say to a person? Your heart, yeah, what about my heart? It's desperately sick and wicked. The heart is deceitful. It's deceitful above all and death. That's mankind in his natural state. God has to speak to you to turn you around. Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Just picture Elijah facing 400 prophets. Elijah facing 850. That's how many prophets there really were, 850. 400 of Baal, 450 of Asherah. Anyway, Elijah, the people. Elijah said, choose today who you're for. The people were for Baal. So Elijah did something to turn their hearts back. It's natural for mankind to turn away from God. John chapter 12, verse 38. John says this. This is natural people going away from God. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke. He's going to tell us, John is going to tell us, that we see the pattern, not just among our leaders, but we've seen the pattern in the old covenant. We've always seen the pattern. Jewish people have said to me today, they said, you know, if Yeshua really was the Messiah, wouldn't we all believe in him? Sounds like a good argument. If Yeshua really was the Messiah, he was powerful and great and good and wonderful, dear old son. If he was really, really the Messiah, wouldn't it be natural for all us to believe? And our answer is no. We would never believe because mankind doesn't believe. We naturally turn away. We see the sea open up. Mankind naturally turns away. That's what we do. We see the miracles. We turn away. In Yeshua's time, even in the Old Covenant. So John's quoting, he says, it would always be this way. They naturally turn away from God. Messiah would be rejected. And he quotes Isaiah 53. He summarizes it. He just gives one verse. He knows the Jewish people know the whole thing. Because Isaiah 53 was very, very well known. They know that John is telling us all people, our Jewish people, naturally turn away from God. As he says, Isaiah told us they would. And he quotes Isaiah chapter 53, quotes the first verse there, really summarizing the whole chapter. He says, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? What he's really saying here is that the nation of Israel would reject him. Now, scholars believe Isaiah 53 will have its fulfillment. I mean, Yeshua died, but the most scholars, Jewish believers, most scholars believe when Yeshua returns, right before he returns, the nation of Israel, the Bible says, will all be saved. The nation of Israel will turn to God. The nation of Israel will repent. The nation of Israel will confess its sin. The nation of Israel, many, many people believe that when they confess their sin, they will confess Isaiah chapter 53. It's very common. They were saying, how could we have believed it? It was so, it's like we were wrong. Isaiah 53 spoke of him, but they're going to confess Isaiah 53 pertains to us. We've rejected the Messiah. And so John is telling them, Isaiah 53 says, we would always reject the Messiah. This is a picture of Israel rejecting the Messiah. When he comes back saying, we said this, we rejected him, we were wrong. So we look at Isaiah 53 as John is telling his people. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 says, we would always reject the Messiah. We read Isaiah 53 verse 1. The Jewish people would say, we couldn't believe in him. He didn't look like the Messiah. He was too plain. When I see a Messiah, power, glory, riding on a horse, coming with power and glory, the signs, the world will open up, Messiah will come when we see it. But the Jewish people were saying, when they confess it in the end times, they will say, we didn't believe in him because he didn't look like the Messiah. Who has believed our report? Of course, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he was like a little child, a tender shoot coming out of the ground. A little shoot coming out of the ground. Like a root out of dry, parched ground. Just a little. That can't be the Messiah. No. Like root out of parched. He's no stately form. That's what I want to see. Oh, he's coming back in stately form, all right. And you and I are coming back right behind him. Anyway, but not yet. They said, he was nothing that we should look upon him. He had no appearance that we should be attracted to him, but rather he was despised. He was forsaken of all men, because that's naturally what men do. They despise God and his word and Messiah. They forsake him. He was a man of sorrows. He suffered. He's too plain. He can't be the Messiah. That's what I said. That's what a lot of Jewish people say. Until God shook me and opened my eyes. A man of sorrows, he was acquainted with grief. He's not the Messiah. He's like one from whom men hide away, hide their face. He was despised. I'm not going to follow a despised one. He wasn't esteemed. They didn't esteem him. Why should I esteem him? He's nothing. He was too common. When Messiah comes back, our Jewish people say, we did reject him. He was too common. Isaiah 53. John quotes it in one verse and he knows the people know it. The next couple of verses, he's not only was he too common and plain, but the next couple of verses, he suffered. How can the Messiah suffer? In fact, he was punished. I can't believe in a Messiah who was punished by God. I can't believe in a Messiah who's going to suffer so horribly and be punished by God. This is what you want me to accept? You know, listen, when I first, before I became a believer, I said, this is not the Messiah I wanted. It's my message on Palm Shabbat, the unexpected Messiah. He came on a donkey, not in power and glory, not on a horse. He suffered. That can't be the Messiah. That's what Isaiah is saying. That's what John is saying. Mankind naturally turns away. Even the nation of Israel turned away. And it says, verse 4, surely our Jewish people's griefs he would bear. Our sorrows he, the Messiah, would carry. We ourselves, we all esteemed him stricken. He was smitten of God and afflicted. How could we believe in someone so suffering from God? He was pierced through for our transgression. He was crucified for our sins. I can't believe in him. There's reason not to believe. That's what we now. How and what took me to say yes to the despised one, to the rejected one, to the pierced one? What made you believe in someone so plain, someone who suffered so much? Everyone, what's the answer? What made you turn to him? Grace of God. He opened your heart. You didn't do it on your own. You know, sometimes you think, Lord, you tell me, you give me a message to tell the world to accept. This is a hard message, folks. You're telling the people to believe in the despised, common, rejected, despised man with no esteem. Yeah. You're telling me to believe in someone who suffered and died persecution and crucifixion. You want me to believe in him? Yeah. I can't. I understand you can't. But unless God's Spirit does something, they won't. This one suffered too much. He was pierced through for he was crushed for my iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. By his suffering, by his scourging, we're healed. All of us were like sheep. We're all going our own way. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused all of our sin. Sin is you going your own way. Sin is you saying, I'm going to do it my way. You know, I was thinking about this week. And I love my prayers this week, most of the weeks. Lord, help me on Saturday. Help me do good. Help me to preach. Help me to share. Bless the people. Touch their hearts. That's normally good prayers. But then I realize what my prayer needs to be. Lord, none of that means anything, whether I'm good or bad. It's all the glory of God. That's all that matters. Lord, can you get the glory today? Can you get the glory this week? Can everyone be lifted up to you? I am not important. God is important. How can we reject? How can we? That's everyone going our own way. We do our own thing. Our prayers are all focused on the wrong thing. We need to focus on the power, majesty, glory of God and what he's done. Then as a sign, oh, Lord, you want to bless me? Yeah, I'd like a blessing. Each of us turns his own way. The Lord has caused the iniquity to fall upon him. Isaiah 53, John is telling us they're going to reject him. He's too common and plain. He suffered too much. He didn't voice any objections. I always marvel at the crucifixion. You know, Yeshua was standing there before the Jewish leaders, before Pilate. And they said, you know, they're accusing you of many things. Didn't say a word. No, aren't you going to speak up? Didn't say a word. Why don't you defend yourself? Don't you know I have power? I love that. When Pilate says, don't you know I have the power to crucify you or let you go free? And the only thing Yeshua says, you have no power at all. It's God's design. Yeshua didn't, he was too quiet. Why didn't he say something? Why didn't he speak up? Finally, when the high priest asked him, are you the one? He goes, yes, I am. You have to answer the high priest when he says it. So he did. And it says, he was too quiet. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, but he still didn't open his mouth. Like a lamb, quietly, just followed him, that's led to the slaughter, like sheep, silent before its shears, so he didn't open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, they considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with the wicked men, because with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yeshua was rejected, not only in Yeshua's time, but in Old Testament time, God was rejected. Not Yeshua, he wasn't here. The Jewish people, and John is telling us, even in the Old Covenant, our people naturally turned away from God. They didn't turn to him. They didn't believe in him. That's what we do, unless God does mercy. You see, when you're sharing your faith today, tomorrow, whenever you're sharing your faith, and I always say this, when you share your faith, you work and teach and share and witness as if everything depends on you. That's how you work hard. When you share, you do your best and you pray. You work like it all depends on you, and you pray like it only depends on God. I've told you many times, I've said this. Sometimes I've shared my faith with unsaved Jewish people. And as I'm sharing my faith, first thing I say to myself, well, you're good. And then God speaks to me, you better watch it. Anyway, so I say, you're good. And then I realize, and I say, oh, no, sorry, Lord, you're good. And you're giving me words, and you're giving me thoughts, and I'm flowing through, and this is really good. This looks good. If I was not, I would have to follow you. I would have to. And I expected people to go, yes, you're right. I accept Yeshua, the Messiah. I remember when I was sharing my faith years ago with Andrew Levy, sitting in the back there. Andrew came to me, his wife brought him to me, and he's in my office, and I'm sharing with him, and I'm saying to myself, you're good. Thank you, Lord. You're doing good. Andrew's going to say, yes, I want it. I want to accept the Lord right now. And I said to Andrew, so are you ready to receive the Messiah? He goes, no. You work like it's all you, but depend it's all him. And then I said, okay, well, let's share a few more verses. And I shared a few more verses. And just quickly, I said, would you like to do it now? He goes, yeah, I would. You see, sometimes when I don't feel good and I've done wrong, I don't feel good, haven't preached well, I'm not connected in my thoughts, I don't know where I'm going, I'm so confused, I don't know what I'm saying. And I say, would you like to pray? Yeah, I would like to. See, the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God touches someone, that's when they're ready. Jewish people reject him. And it all depends on God. So we see in John chapter 12, John chapter 12, and John 12, verse 39, he says, for this reason, they could not believe. The Jewish people could not believe. Mankind naturally goes the wrong way. They naturally turn away from God. And because we naturally turn away from God, God in his sovereignty and in his, I don't understand why, God will harden their hearts. You know, it's the same thing people don't realize in parables. You know, the purpose of a parable is two purposes. God tells a story to illustrate a truth. One truth, usually one truth, not a bunch of truths. But God speaks in parables. After they reject Yeshua in Matthew chapters 10, 11, and 12, God starts speaking to them in parables. Why does he speak in parables? For two purposes, everyone. Why are parables given? Here it is. One, to make those who want to follow God, want to believe in him, want to accept him, he makes it clear for you. Those who want to reject and turn away from all the signs and evidence, God speaks in parables to harden them. I wouldn't do it that way, but God does, parables. And so because mankind rejects God, God says, fine, you want to reject me? Go your own way. And at times, God knows when, he'll even harden them. Now, God can soften their hearts through your prayers and God saves them, but John says this, for this reason, they could never believe. Mankind naturally goes away. When they go away, God makes it almost impossible for them to believe. For he says, for this reason, they could not believe. For Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. After they reject God, he blinds their eyes. He hardens their hearts. So that they would not see with their eyes, perceive with their hearts, and be converted, and I would heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw the glory of God and spoke of him. Isaiah tells us that mankind would reject God. That's their natural tendency. Yeshua's time, they rejected God. Old Testament, they rejected God. And so when they reject God, God, unless his mercy and grace, and we will show you that next week, Unless God's mercy and grace, you will naturally harden yourself, and God will harden you as well. That's why we have to pray. You have to pray that God would speak to their hearts and reach them. We need to share our faith with mankind who naturally says no to God. That's hard for us as believers. God, you send me to people, and you know they're not going to believe. And then you even make it hard. You have to pray, Lord, I'm going to go. Can you soften their heart? Can you open their eyes that they might believe? As you and I go, realizing this is a hard message, God told Jeremiah, God told Ezekiel, Jeremiah, they're not going to treat you well. What do you mean? Well, they're not going to kill you, but they're going to put you in cisterns. They're going to put you in mud. They're going to give you a rough time. Ezekiel, they're going to give you a rough time. They're going to persecute you and fight against you. Why should I go? God says, go. Share your truth. And those I want to come to me will. You and I are called to go to a stubborn, obstinate, hardened world and ask that God would soften, open their eyes and their heart to your story, your testimony, and the verses that God gives you. Father God, we thank you that in spite of a hardened world, in spite of a world that rejects you, that rejected Yeshua and his signs and miracles, in spite of an old covenant that people rejected and turned away from you as well, that you've given us a message to go. And so though we don't fully understand it, you do tell us, go. You do tell us to share. You do tell us to give our story, our testimony, and the Bible verses. And that you, if it's your will, Lord, we ask that you would open their eyes, soften their hearts, that they might turn again and receive Yeshua as their Messiah. We ask these things all in his name. Amen.